Greetings to all this morning in the name of Jesus. May the peace of God be on this house as we worship Him. Our thoughts and prayers are with those in Ukraine especially and elsewhere in the world who don't have the privilege of gathering together and worshiping in peace like we do. When we meet together and we call each other brother and sister and we think of ourselves as Christians, what does that mean? What all does that involve? If you would ask somebody that you meet on the street of New York and you would ask them, what is a Christian? What do you think their answer would be? They might not even know what you're talking about. Christian, never heard that phrase. What do you mean? Could you explain it to them? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read a few verses here in the middle of this chapter. We're going to use for a basis of the message this morning. Matthew chapter 27, begin reading at verse 15. And this is in the middle of the trial of Jesus. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor saith, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I'm going to cease reading there. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we are probably appalled, we are confounded as to why a group of people would decide to ask that Barabbas be released rather than Jesus. And we decide that on the basis of the character of the two individuals. And we want to spend a little bit of time looking at the character of these two individuals. If we look at the character of Jesus, we could read all of the New Testament and we could read Old Testament prophets, and we still probably would not be able to comprehend the whole of who Jesus Christ is. Because our minds can't grasp heavenly things at this point. God gives us in his word many things about Jesus Christ. John writes, I believe, in inspiration through the Holy Spirit, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later in the chapter he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that gives us the concept that Jesus is eternal. It says, in the beginning. We all know that God has no beginning, but in the beginning of the comprehension of mankind, Jesus was there. And that Jesus, that Word, that was with God when the world was formed, came to this earth, and he was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Now, can you comprehend that? Can you in your mind comprehend how Jesus Christ, the Word of God, became flesh? God. God in person. That's who Jesus was. He was a man that was well known. And we could turn to a number of different scriptures, but we have many passages of where the crowds followed him. How they went from place to place and they followed him from one place to the next. He'd enter into a city and the crowds gathered. He was traveling along the road and the crowds were with him. He left to go to a place of quiet and rest and the crowds followed. John the Baptist heard about Jesus Christ while he was in prison. And it says during the trial before the crucifixion, when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, Herod was glad because he had heard a lot of things about this man. And he wanted to see him and talk to him and ask him questions. He was a very well-known individual. Why was he well-known? He taught love, respect, and doing good. In Luke chapter 6, there's a number of verses there that just show us the teaching and the speaking of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, begin reading at verse 27. This is Jesus speaking here, and he's teaching people how to live and how to respond to people around them and situations around them. And he's speaking to us today. Jesus says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For the sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? The sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Brothers and sisters, that is what Jesus taught. And that is how Jesus responded to those that were around him. Yes, there was times when he used harsh words and maybe even some force. When he cleansed the temple, we think of that and we say, well, Jesus, you know, wasn't very non-resistant there. But we see Jesus' God power in those times. We see his sovereignty in those times. But when Jesus was dealing with people, he was a kind, compassionate individual. We could go to Matthew chapter 22 and read some verses there where it talks about Jesus' kindness and his ability to speak to people and to be compassionate to people. Another thing that stands out in the life of Jesus is the fact that he healed and restored life. The daughter of Jairus, in Luke chapter 8, the man came to Jesus and he said, my daughter is sick. And before he got there, the word came to him that his daughter died. Jesus said, believe. And he went, and even in the face of the mocking, jeering crowd, when he said, she's not dead, but sleepeth, he raised her to life. The son, the only son of the widow of Nain, as they were coming out of the city, carrying the dead body, Jesus met them, and it says Jesus had compassion on her, and he raised her son to life. Lazarus had been dead 3 days. And they rolled away the stone, and Jesus called him forth. Jesus came to give life. Not only physical life, but he came to bring us spiritual life by his death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to give. Jesus came to, yes, give life, give health. He gave food, he gave teaching. He gave hope to people who didn't have hope. He gave himself as an example. He gave freedom. And most of all, he gave himself. Now compare that. Compare that to Barabbas. We don't have a whole lot in the Bible about Barabbas, but each one of the Gospels mentions him at the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. Here in Matthew, it says he was a notable prisoner. And that's basically all it says about him. But he was an individual that was remarkable. You know, even in the world today, when somebody goes to prison for theft or many what we call petty crimes, you don't hear a lot about them. There's people in the local prison here in Lancaster. There's people in prisons across the land that we don't know anything about. But the notable prisoners, we know about, we hear about. We know their names. Their names are in the news. There's names, and we could mention a number of them this morning that we know about because they were notable. They committed heinous crimes. They committed crimes against humanity. They committed crimes against people that were terrible, creating suffering. Creating fear, creating grief. That's the kind of man that Barabbas was. He was well known. I think it's John that calls him a robber. He was a robber. And I'm sure that there's people that lived in fear of him coming and robbing them, and I'm not sure what all he did when he robbed. But his crimes escalated from that. In Mark chapter 15, when Mark describes him, when Mark tells us what he is, it says he was involved in an insurrection. And there was, in the time of the Jews, there was many insurrections against the Roman government. There was individuals who took it upon themselves to gather a group of people together and try and free the Jewish people and what they considered the Jewish nation, to free them from the Roman government. Whether it was one of those insurrections that Barabbas was involved in or was a leader of, I don't know. It could have been an insurrection against local government. It could have been a demonstration like we hear today that turned violent. I don't know what it was. But he was involved in an insurrection, an uprising. And in that, during that time, it says he committed murder. He killed. He was a murderer. He was an individual that was imprisoned for not one but many crimes against humanity. Barabbas was an individual that you probably didn't want to meet alone. Why would anyone ask for the release of Barabbas, this type of an individual? Why would anyone ask for his release and condemn Jesus Christ? These two lives, Jesus and Barabbas, met and crossed paths. I don't know. There's many books written. There's many thoughts given about Barabbas after his release. I don't know whether Barabbas, when he was released, got out of Jerusalem as fast as he could go. Or whether he stayed. And looked on the man that took his place. Barabbas was condemned to die. And I don't know if he was the one that was going to be crucified among those thieves or not and then was released. I don't know all that. But just let your mind run this morning, brothers and sisters. As the soldiers came into that prison, and came up to Barabbas' cell door and opened that door. Barabbas probably was expecting to die. And to be led out of there and to hear the words, "You're a free man." Even a hardened criminal like Barabbas would have to stop and think. But you know, Barabbas could walk out of that prison and leave Jerusalem and ride out into the hills and join up with his old crew. He was out of prison, but he wasn't free. He wasn't free until he met Jesus Christ and accepted him as his Savior. Brothers and sisters, you and I this morning are Barabbas, whether we like it or not. Barabbas is probably the name that you would call somebody if you would be looking for a derogatory biblical name. You would probably call somebody a Barabbas that has mistreated you and has been ugly to you and has taken things from you and has killed your character. But you and I are Barabbas. We have stolen. We have taken. Maybe we didn't take money. Maybe we didn't take things. But we have taken and destroyed people's character. We have taken and destroyed the love of God because we've refused it. We've turned away from it. We were a notable individual. And you may say, "Well, I wasn't all that bad." Brothers and sisters, in the sight of God, you were a Barabbas. In the sight of God, you were an individual that was doomed to die because of your heinous crimes against God, because of your disrespect, because of your disobedience, because of your insurrection against God, you were doomed to die. You were released from prison when Jesus died. You're free to go. You're free to do your own will. You're free to sit here this morning nonchalant and just wait until church is over so you can go do your own thing. You can sit here and be pious and pretend to be somebody you're not. You can sit here this morning being here in this group and your mind being elsewhere planning devious things. You're free to do that. But brothers and sisters, you don't know real freedom until you've allowed Jesus Christ into your heart and change you. Until you come before that cross and realize that Jesus Christ took your place. You realize that you should have been there and died, and you could never redeem yourself even though you did that. Even though you would suffer on the cross and die, you would never be able to redeem yourself. But because Jesus Christ hung there on that cross, you can be free if you accept it, if you believe it, and if you live it. Barabbas was the individual that could have left prison and gone out into the hills and kept on doing the very thing that he was doing before. He'd have been right back in prison again, and he'd probably died. And that's how you and I are. Jesus Christ died for us. But unless we live the commandments of God, unless we live a life different than what we were living before, unless we live a life that shows that we have been redeemed, that we have faith, and that we believe in Jesus Christ, and that we no longer serve the same devil that we were serving before, but we serve God. If our life hasn't changed, we're doomed to die. But if we allow Jesus Christ to change our lives, if we realize the sin, the awfulness, the heinous crime that we committed by sinning against God, and as we're released from that prison, we go out there and we view that cross and we see Jesus Christ, the shed blood, and realize that it was for us. And we realize that it's the only way that we can truly be free, the only way that we can find peace, the only way that we can find redemption, the only way that we can find that leads to God. And we accept that way. We accept that salvation. We accept that blood. Then we're free. You can be free. You might feel that you're free because you're not bound by the rules and regulations. You might feel that you're free because you can do what you want to do. Barabbas might have felt that he's free when he rode out of the city. I don't know. But he wasn't free until he came before the cross, and neither are you and I. The choice is ours, brother and sister. Who do we identify with this morning? We can decide to live for Jesus, or we can decide to live a Barabbas life. You and I need to make that choice today and answer for it before God.